Welcome to the XX Mormon podcast, brothers and sisters. I'm presiding and conducting Heavenly Mother, and today we have a guest speaker who put she put harlot in her name, but the harlot in the Book of Alma, Isabel, is that correct?
Yeah.
Fair. Would you want me to say harlot before I say Isabel, or just say Isabel? We can do that.
Well, in the Book of Alma it says the harlot Isabel, but we can do Isabel. It's fine.
Just go the harlot every
This is
time.
let me yeah, no, not just the har Okay, so on a mission, we did down with 39 because the guy's like, now, right, because it was bad. He's like, sorry, should I do this right now?
It right now. You're on a roll. I'm
Oh,
following your story quite well.
okay, so we meet a guy and he talks about how he has a porn problem on our
Oh,
first
wow.
appointment. So I'm like, okay, we need to read. Well, he may have said more too, but he talked about porn. We're like, oh, this is good. He hates, because we hate porn too. So we sent him Alma 39, or had him read that. But then when he comes back, then when we went back, he was like, yeah, I read it, but I just want to talk about the harlot Isabel.
Oh my God.
Because that's just how it's like the harlot, comma, Isabel. And so that's just been in my mind since that whenever that's come to mind, it hasn't been Isabel, it's been the harlot Isabel, because that's how the investigator said it.
True. That's the title. Where did you serve your mission?
Central and South New Jersey.
Okay, cool beans. I was in the Lubbock mission, but I did most of the time in New Mexico and then a little bit in Texas. So stateside, holler, holler. But now we'll get into your story, the harlot Isabel. That's just the way we'll lead with that. For short, I might just say Isabel, but the harlot Isabel. So where did you grow up? What was your introduction to the church? How did you come into the church? How did that happen?
Okay, so I grew up in the hotbed, just barely north of Salt Lake City.
Ooh.
And so I was raised in a Utah culture, along with like a right-leaning culture, along with a Mormon culture. Also, my birth parents are extremely political, and so I'm not trying to get to,
Just keep, you're
but
on a roll, the harlot
okay.
Isabel. We love your story.
So they have always been heavily involved in politics. So I felt like I was really raised in the Republican Party as much as I was raised in the LDS Church.
Intertwining for you. That's fair.
Yeah, it was one and the same for me. Rush Limbaugh, while being taken around for errands, I would get car sick by that. Told, scratching out Harry Potter, like any swear words in Harry Potter, my birth mom would cross those out before we could read it. So just very much a purity culture, and so yeah, I probably just what makes it a little bit unique is I don't know how everybody if everybody is that involved in like the Republican Party as much. Certainly there are folks like that, but I know that there's LDS folks who just raise their kids and just turn out to vote and things like that too. But that was definitely that too. And I, met congressmen and all that bullshit. So and then that then I was able to start in Republican politics like senior year of college and first year out of college. But as for Mormonism, yeah, just raised, totally the TBM way. Was a deacon's president, teacher's president, high priest first assistant, because the bishop is over the priests. The big brother in Trek, and just was told all the things about just being this great builder of the kingdom as an adult, but I I've got life's been diff life's turned out differently.
You became the harlot Isabel. We wouldn't have it any other way. We wouldn't have it any other way. So it sounds like you and your family were kind of what I would consider to be a little bit Mormon poster child. You know what I mean? Like that, what's projected anyways. And then you said your senior year of college. Where'd you go to college, if you don't mind? You don't have to answer if you don't want to. If you're like, no, too personal. Too personal, Heavenly Mother.
No, it's all good. I'm pretty open, but so, Utah State University. So I didn't, not that I had a choice, but my brother was able to go to an Ivy League school, but he had to pay for the whole thing because my dad said you should be in Utah or near Utah. So that's my brother's story, I know, but I think that's complete bullshit by my birth father
That's
to, he's
awful.
like, oh yeah, you have got the grades to go to an Ivy League school and play basketball there, but you need to stay near Utah. That's how they are. They're very like Utah minded and out of the church, they're like Utah minded along with LDS minded. I remember my dad in Christmas time, we read a Utah version of, what's that? The Christmas, you read it at Christmas Eve. Anyway, it's a Utah version that he wrote. So it's got like Orrin Hatch in it and stuff, which is like a senator from Utah.
Oh
And
my God. I might
so
mute
speaking.
myself because of the sirens, but you keep going. It's a staple. It's a staple. The sirens used to. You continue. I'm going to mute myself because of the.
Yeah, he my birth father got mad when the. So the Utah Jazz played in the Orlando, Florida for the and it's called the NBA bubble when it was when it was COVID, and he was upset. He thought that the Utah Jazz should not participate because it said Black Lives Matter on the court, and I'm like, they're just an NBA team. Like the NBA did their finish their season down there, you know, so they're like a Utah. They're just like as in love with Utah as the church. It's so weird.
Sound pretty radical. Sound pretty hardcore.
So I had to get past that, and I forgot something I was gonna say, but it was
You're
honestly pretty
okay. It was an
interesting.
interesting side tale. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. So for you growing up, being Mormon, did you have anything when you were younger that you knew, like, oh, that's a problem? Like they call them shelf items on other podcasts. But like an issue that you're like, well, I don't know about that. Something you feel like you had to compromise on morally or otherwise.
So in 2006, the LDS Church changed in the intro to the Book of Mormon. It said that the Lamanites are the principal ancestors of the Native Americans. And then they changed it to are among the principal ancestors of the Native Americans. And I remember that well. I was 17 or just about that. And then, you know, but then I went to seminary. And the teacher gave like the apologetic response, and I was like, "Oh, you know, it's all good." So I can't say that I was like super growing up prior to having a college degree, like having a ton of thoughts, because you know I'm realizing right now that since a seminar teacher could put to bed my question there.
That's okay. I think it's still valid because it is something that's like seriously wrong. And then the wild part is the gaslighting. So I mentioned it a couple of times. I'll say it again. I'll say it again. The church changes its doctrine like I changed my socks. Like they change, but then they deny it. You know, the church changes, but the doctrine doesn't. Like the doctrine's true. Like God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They say those things, but so much has changed even within my lifetime. So much has changed within my parents' lifetime. And then so much has changed even within the last like 5 years, like probably since COVID, around the time that I left, because I left in like 2021. So I think that that's valid. I think little you, little K to you. Like that's a doctrinal change to go from principal to among twinkle fingers. Like, no one's gonna notice this. but it's actually a really big deal. Like, it is a big deal, and little you did notice. So, and then you said when you got older, that's kind of when more shelf items. And then I'll ask about, like, what was the crack in the dam? The, like, oh, dip, I gotta get out of here. So tell me more about that. Tell me about your journey.
Okay, so when I was a teenager, I also just I just came to mind when I was a teenager, I came across xmormon.org, and so
Ooh.
I remember opening it and being like, oh no, like I feel so much evil around me, and it's so interesting. I think a lot of sites have become more visited since then.
Hell
I
yeah.
was told, yeah, interviewed. So there's the, I just wanted to add that. And then and I remember in some excuse me fall of 2012, I was driving from Salt Lake to Logan twice a week for an internship with the governor's office. And I remember being like, I'm listening to actually the Piano Guys, which I know they go beyond Mormonism, but Mormons love those guys. But I remember being like, you know, I just have faith, you know? Like I totally believed. I didn't have, but I was like, I just have faith. I guess when Mitt Romney was running for president, and he was my hero, and media reports were like, oh, like, is the church gonna influence his presidency? Can you imagine if Mitt Romney, what happened?
I think
Like,
about it pretty, it's like a sliding doors, you know, like we see with the Gwyneth Paltrow where she makes a choice and then there's like two different realities. The sliding door of what if Mitt Romney had won. Yeah, I'd love to see that sliding doors. Like to like Doctor Strange where you can see different, you know, possibilities and how universes went. Also, I thought I would say, who wasn't listening to the Piano Guys in 2012? Like
for
fair,
sure,
like
for
I
sure.
was, you know. But continue,
I
continue.
still do. I'll be, I mean, they're
No shame, no shame. You
good.
are, I forgive you for sins.
So I guess I was kind of like, oh yeah, like, yeah, I was like, okay, media said LDS Church whitewashes its history when they're covering Romney. And I'm like, no way. But when they said, would the Mitt Romney be under a church lobby? I'd be like, yeah, because I knew that they lobbied the Utah legislature hard, you know, and like on that internship, learning that.
You're
That's fine.
okay. You're okay. Keep going. I'm
So
falling
the
in love.
Governor Herbert, he went to Thomas Monson's birthday party. I saw because I looked at his I got to see his calendar, and I'm like, what the hell, like. So I knew the church lobbied, and I knew they'd lobby Romney White House. So I was like, okay, yeah. And I just would think, that's just a thought I'd have driving up to back to Logan. I'd be like, I just have faith, you know. But I still like, but I believe. And then spring of 2013 happened, and I was like, you know what? There's things in church history that, so I'm 24 at that time. Like, there's things in church history that don't make sense. I was like, I don't even know church history, but I'm hearing enough about this that there's gotta be. So then I remember like texting my dad and being like, you don't know anything about church history, and it bothers me
That's
because
fair.
we didn't know anything growing up. And I like went to New Mexico, and even though it was like 2 weeks before finals, I just was like in New Mexico for a week. Although I was at two conferences. I did go to two conferences there. So that I wouldn't have gone without those. But I still just didn't, I just hung out in Albuquerque and Santa Fe in the week between because the conferences run 2 weekends. And I was just thinking about having sent that text to him, like, that was kind of rude, you know, like he just has his faith. But I do wish I knew some of these things because I'm starting to think maybe it wasn't whitewashed, but maybe isn't like everything that's in the Sunday school manuals.
Yeah.
And then I listened in December 2013 to a Mormon Stories interview with Tom Phillips, who talks about the Second Anointing and how he got the Second Anointing in the UK, and Emerson Mallard, rest in peace, I suppose, was no, he's bad. But like he went there, and it's kind of like a very elitist thing, you know? And I felt like everything. I probably didn't proceed at that point because I felt like everything was stripped, you know? I was like, what? And, you know? But then, so fast forward to July 2015, and the Obergefell versus Hodges decision has been made, the gay marriage decision, where the Supreme Court, I hate when people say made gay marriage legal. What they did was they looked at the Constitution and they said the Constitution allows gay marriage, right? It's the 14th Amendment. So that happens. LDS Church First Presidency freaks out, tells the bishoprics to read a letter on July 5th or July 12th. So I go to my ward July 5th, Bountiful, Utah, just starting to live right where I grew up, and was very disappointed because the first counselor just read the thing and was like, okay, we love you. And then, you know, with just like he says that right when he finishes. It's like, okay, no. And then there was somebody next to me that was like, no discussion. So,
Oh
but
no.
I think that's what the first presidency wanted. I don't think there was a discussion intended. Like
I
that was
agree with
like, just
you.
read the thing, get our views out. But there was somebody who's like, no, he's like, that's it. So then I'm chatting with Crystal Young Otterstrom. She's Crystal Young now. We were together with for LDS Dems because I was a believing Mormon who was left leaning for about a year, and she's like, well, and I'm telling her I'm frustrated, like on Facebook Messenger. She's like, come to my ward. I'm in Sugar House. It's different. We're gonna have a discussion. So I go there, and we have a discussion, and I'm like, wait a sec, like. As questions are asked and we have this talk, like I'm like, you know, I don't think the LDS Church has any wisdom on this issue at all, you know, and so I was like, so really, I don't think I should give it the benefit of the doubt. I think I should know the history. So then I go home. So that's the shelf stuff, because then and then I hit that afternoon, I hit the thing that breaks it. It's the CES letter. I'd heard about it in the news, and I'm like, okay, like LDS Church doesn't have, they don't really have any unique insight on gay marriage, and so I'm gonna know the history. Sit down and read the CES letter. I think it's something like a 93-page document. 32 pages in, I went from a whole life to that point of belief to gone, like faith shattered.
The dam cracked and the flood waters bursted open.
Yeah, for real
And
though. And I just like went and started doing dishes because I was just freaking out. Like I felt vertigo. I felt vertigo. And so I was just like, do the dishes. I gotta take my mind off this, you know? So and then I did read 8 or 9 books on church history, like independent books, like stuff from D. Michael Quinn, and that just, but unfortunately, that just like 98% validated what was in the CES letter. And so it just cemented the faith that I'd lost, you know?
oh God. Damn. And then if we run out of time, I'll just make a new one, so don't worry. But yeah, run. The viewers can't tell because we're gonna mush the episodes together, but I'm saying it for you because that's kind of
Oh,
like a really good cliffhanger, but we'll go make another one. We'll hear the rest of your story. But damn, I totally understand the vertigo feeling. I was a slow burner to leave. But when I guess with Romney running and with the gay marriage issue the church had, did it feel unethical to you? Did it feel immoral to you? Or did it just feel like this isn't what the church should be doing? Like, what was the conflict inside?
well, the day it was announced, Or the day the Supreme Court decision was made in June 2015. I remember having a Twitter conversation with a friend of mine, and I was like, okay, so does this mean the church is bringing back polygamy?
Fair.
Because
Great
I'm like,
question.
because I'm like, yeah, if the heterosexual marriage is if other forms are gonna be allowed, like, yeah, if it's,
That
if
was
they're,
the
if
way
it's all
you thought it.
constitutional,
Yeah,
if
the way
it's
you
all
thought it was.
constitutional, then why not? So I remember that being the first discussion, and just seeing like, oh, the church could capitalize off of this, and obviously we know that they still do believe in polygamy, just were forced to by the federal government because they threatened to shut down the temples in 1890. This is admitted in official dec in one of the in the official Declaration of One.
Yeah.
So that was my first thought. I remember posting that, like, I'm glad for this, even though I was a believer for another month. I was like, I'm glad for this. I was like, oh, it's constitutional, it's a civil right. I was at that point. And so I was already supportive of it the next month when then I go to the Sugar House Ward and have this discussion and a part of this discussion and have a real light bulb moment, like just like reason itself, because I was like, why did the Supreme Court make this decision? And then I see, oh, it's the Constitution, it's the 14th Amendment, it's equality under the law. I'm like, it's I was like, oh, like, how like it applies to like race equality. Okay, like it's because the 14th Amendment pertains to that. Like, okay, so I was already there, and then the discussion of the Sugar House Ward took me to the church has no insight on this matter. They
Yeah.
just don't, and so I think the change from intellectually getting gay marriage being fine, and then the church being and then realizing the church had no special perspective on it was really fast.
One. Bam. So, yeah, what happened immediately after that? After you realized this is not gonna work.
When did the dishes just trying to take my mind off the vertigo? My ex comes up and says, we're gonna figure it out. It'll be okay. And I said, no, we're not, because I knew.
Damn.
So my response was to take off my garments right away, right there in the kitchen in front of me. And that was really dramatic of me. And I think even though I knew that I wasn't going to be able to put Humpty Dumpty back together again, I could have handled it better. I could have just, I don't know, walked away quietly or something. I don't know. So then I dumped a lot of information on her. And she didn't want to know. And so she left 2.5 weeks after I lost belief. So I lost belief July 12, 2015. Just my fault because she asked me to not dump info on her. And I did. So that's my fault. And then I ended up reading. So actually, Kate Kelly's parents really nice to me. She led ordained women, she advocating for women to have the priesthood. And I actually stayed at their house for a bit,
That's amazing.
being in complete vertigo still, and I was at their house, and at their house, from about waking up till about 10:30, 11 o'clock every morning, I would read these books. No Man Knows My History from Fawn Brody was another one, besides D. Michael Quinn. An Insider's View of Mormon Origins by Grant Palmer was another one. And so just learned a lot of just learned a lot more and just confirmed what the CES letter said. And so, yeah, there was a big time recovery at Donna and Jim's house. And, it was, there's a lot of Kate Kelly disciples out there. Not a lot, but there are some. So I was at the house where she grew up.
Fangirling. We're
Yeah.
all fangirling. We have a prize guest, okay? We do. Every guest is a prize. We've got a real gem here. A real pearl of great price, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, continue. That is really cool, though.
So I remember one night I'm on the couch in the downstairs living room, and like definitely a fan of Kate's work. I think for me it showed me the church was patriarchal. Definitely during that final year of belief, I was like, women should have the priesthood, flat out. Even if the church is even the church is true, but the women should have the priesthood
I
for
was like
damn sure. Like if you look at,
that
well, yeah, like Second Nephi 26:33, which says like black and white, bond and free, male and female are all equal. That was used prior to 1978 before blacks got the priesthood, really before the ban was lifted. That's really what it was.
too.
And so I was like, wait, females in there, And so I remember even putting up like a like an ordained women profile and everything, even prior to that final year. And so I definitely enjoyed getting to know her parents and spending a little time with Kate and her boyfriend at the time, going to a baseball game to get with them all. And anyway, one night though, in well into the summer, 2016, I got a knock and on this back the back glass door of the house, and it was my two brothers. And my birth mom had actually said, we're going to find their lately. She wanted to find me. And my brothers were like, this isn't the best idea. But they all supported her. And so, like, my three, because then my sister and my birth dad were there too. So my whole family was there and like stepped out. And we're just like sitting in front of Kate Kelly's house. And like, I feel like I'm having to like explain like how I'm like the same person. Because I was kind of like stunned, you know what I mean? Like I didn't expect that. I still don't know how they actually found her, found the house, But so that was a crazy night for sure. And then and so yeah, that was the first year. That was the first year after and I was just really fucked up. Sorry.
You
Really,
confess, I don't
yeah,
care.
I was I, yeah, okay, I'm glad that's okay here. I was really screwed up that first year. I was like really.
Not okay. You were not okay at that time.
No, I was not. I did something very not smart in March 2016. Yeah, not okay at all. Had some. I had a job. I was working in the legislature, and I was working for a progressive advocacy group in the legislature. And I tweeted that maybe the legislature's not expanding Medicaid in the state because Obamacare allowed states to expand Medicaid, and it was shown through studies that it helps economies, states' economies, if they did this. So I was like, why is the committee not allowing an expansion, a Medicaid expansion bill to go through? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Money will just go back to DC. So I made that point in the tweet. Said that maybe some of these legislators in committee are racist against Obama because they just don't like Obama, so they're opposing a bill that actually. Well, then some members of the Utah media then went to the founder of the advocacy group. They want to kiss the media's ass, so then I got fired, and that was like the third termination in like 3 months. And so, between like the faith crisis and that, and like my birth mom having said terrible things to me, like so abusive things, what if I didn't believe? Like, yeah.
Oh my God. I have this belief, this theory that the closer someone is to the stomach of the church, because I'm gonna say it's heart, because I don't think the church has a heart. Ooh. Went
No,
there. It's
that
a
was fun.
parasite. The stomach of the church, the more they're hurt when they leave. Like it's hard on everybody, and I always want to validate that for people. Like it's mind blowing, earth shattering to leave, whether you're a convert or you're raised in the church. And I think for converts, it's like waking up out of a nightmare. That's my opinion. I'm not a convert, so I can't speak to all their experiences. But interviewing converts, having parents that are converts that have left, it is like coming out of some horrible fever dream. But when you're raised in it, it's like the house you grew up in falling apart, like shattering. Like it's a different kind of nightmare. But yeah, I think the closer you are to the stomach, the more you literally get burned, like by its stomach acid. Like the church digests people and breaks them down and use them for its own nutrients. Going real hard with this metaphor, as I do. And so I think that was you having your metaphorical acid burned on you. Like, it was awful. And someone that you were married to, that also didn't work out either. And that's painful in its own way. And I know you take a lot of ownership for that not working out, and that's valid, and I don't want to dismiss that, but I feel like everyone in the church is a victim. So I don't see you doing anything wrong in this, but I understand that they had a boundary at that time. But yeah.
I needed to not. I shouldn't have said it. I just shouldn't. I had a 1 month-old son and a two almost 3 year old daughter. I should have. Excuse me. One almost two. I should have done it for them. I should have. I mean, it wouldn't have worked out anyway, because then I was gonna come out as a trans woman anyway. But I hadn't come to my realization yet, and so I should have zipped it for them. So
I think you're a wonderful parent. I might get emotional. Oh my God. You're just so funny. Oh Jesus. I'll bring it back with humor, but regret is a gift. But also like the church hurts people. It's a cult in my opinion. And so I think you staying or handling it different probably would have hurt you, but because you love your kids, like that's why you look at it this way. It's like, well, it could have hurt me, but things could have been more stable. To me, as an outsider listening to your story, I think the way that you left is amazing, and taking your garments off right then and there, like that's very brave to me. But that's okay if you don't view your story that way. But I do as a listener, and I can't speak for everybody listening, but as a third party observer, I'm like, damn right, like do it, but that's not you. I'm not experiencing it through you. And not everybody has the privilege or experience of having a partner leave with you. And so yeah, I just hate the church. That's where it comes down to. I hate the cults, hate what it
It
does
is
to
a cult,
people.
yeah. I
And
actually try to say it. I try to say the cult rather than the church, and I fail royally at trying to achieve that. So,
it's okay, we all do, because it's we'll get into that later. It's but in I always say in my opinion, in case the church ever comes after me, I'm like, in my opinion, it's a cult, but it's also measurable, so you can look it up. But I don't know, I think you're hard on you, but that's okay. That's kind of a side effect of growing up Mormon, I think, is just being hard on ourselves, you know. So, but yeah, that's that part of your story is heartbreaking because you left and it was like explosive towards you.
Yeah.
Also, I don't disagree with what you said in your tweet, so just kind of spitting facts to me. Your whole story is like you unabashedly telling the truth, and everyone's like, shut that up. Like, That's like the story of you leaving. It's like you being honest, and everyone's like, "We live in a pool of lies." Like
Oh, it's yeah, it's
that's
so
the tale.
interesting. You know, even people I really admire, it's like, and are very convicted, it's like sometimes it's like, yeah, it's like, oh, don't be too outspoken. Like, oh, my bad.
Don't be too. Don't let the truth shine too bright. We don't want that. And so after that, how did you come out of that dark place or low place, whichever way you describe it?
It took me a bit longer. So I was at my so I come after the after the attempt, I then was in a mental health facility for 3 weeks. Then was at my parents' place, and and April 2016 is when I knew for sure I was gender non-conforming. And so then my birth father once yelled, like, he yelled, "Be a man," at the top of his lungs as verbal abuse. Even his wife wanted to stop him, to try, like, told him to stop. You know, it was really bad. And he didn't know, you know, she did it because it was, just on the side of, you know, just the volume was inappropriate and it was aggressive, you know. So there was abusive from that perspective. He didn't, and she didn't realize also that it impacted me at a deep level because I didn't identify as a man. I hadn't for 11 months at that point. So then I went to a domestic abuse shelter. Second I was there, or like the first day I was there, I bought women's clothes, started wearing them. And then that helped a lot. And then I got a job to work at a newspaper in Southwest Wyoming. And I thrived in that role. So that was definitely a big boost. I then came back to Utah to be closer to my kids, worked for a newspaper in Utah called the Daily Herald, Provo Daily Herald. They had a Pulitzer Prize right in their backyard of sexual assault being, you know, just not being addressed, and actually the the women who were victims being being blamed because of the honor code. Like, they're blamed in the honor code, making it so there wasn't justice. So, like, Tribune got a Pulitzer for it. It was in the Daily Herald's backyard, though. Anyway, I go to the Daily Herald. And like, first day I'm there, the person who covers the LDS church, so she's supposed to be like independent in her reporting about the church. On the other hand, though, she asks a coworker, "Why do you think that there's so many, you know, terrorists and things in the world?" And he gives like a thoughtful answer, and she then responds with, "It's because of tyrants who destroy and reign with blood and horror on this earth." That was her response. When she asked him and he gave a response, she then just quotes the temple line.
Oh my
And I was like, "Oh Lord, like I am, this is not what I was expecting." Like,
red flag is flaring.
I thought that like it was like a free thinking environment, you know. And then also the first day I got asked by the executive editor, Jordan Carroll, "Well, a lot of our people are LDS, and I know you've written some articles that aren't positive on the LDS church. So can you think you can handle working here?" And I was like, I mean, this wasn't my tone. But I was like, of course. Like, so I was like, yeah, like I can work with LDS people, you know? My family's LDS, and like it's just so silly. It's funny that TBMs will actually think, and see, I haven't even used that term. So I've done it. I know I've done it twice in this interview, but I haven't done it for a long time. Latter-day Saints will, I guess, have a perspective, given my experience at least, that ex-Mormons can't work with Latter-day Saints or don't want to. And that's I just wanted to do my craft. That's all. I want to do what I studied in college. It's fine. I don't care who the coworkers are, whether they're any religion or not religious or whatever, you know? So that was definitely an eye opener. And like, so that didn't work out. And I was told you're not a fit with our culture a few weeks in. I did like an article about like, so I was a crime reporter and somebody was booked for, and I was expected to write an article about a person booked for marijuana. And I was like, actually, let's look at like how this came about and how during the Nixon administration, he cracked down on it. And like, if it's still relevant today, and no, that wasn't it. And so, yeah. So just, no, I wasn't a fit with their, and like, being terminated because I wasn't a fit with their culture was probably discrimination, and I did file a suit, but that was, I don't think that was going to go anywhere in a Utah court, and I didn't know what I was doing because I wasn't an attorney. Well, maybe I could have done it, but I, or not, because I forgot to meet a filing deadline, so maybe probably not actually, but it's fine because that just was not good. And I wrote an article also there about the MTC president, Joseph Bishop, who did sexual bad things to Kenna Denson, and like kudos to them for publishing it, but now it's gone.
Oh my
And
God, I
so
didn't know that.
it's really dismaying. Like, I'm going on a tangent. How
No, you're
things
not.
persist. How did
You're
I get out of it?
fine. You're okay.
Okay.
You're not on a tangent. It was just what happened after the fact. I do remember the McKenna Denson, what people call a scandal. He's a perpetrator, he's a predator, he's a rapist. And I remember how that, so a couple things you're mentioning, it's wild because I remember them and how they fit in my story. Like, oh, dip, like we were, I was ex-Mormons, we like all of these canon events, like we all these little experiences. We're like, oh, I was there too. But the McKenna Denson was like a huge eye-opening thing. I talked to a bishop about it, and he handled it horrifically. And like my mom was in the MTC at the same time. And like that could have been her, you know what I mean? It wasn't because she learned another language. She was in the foreign language department, so she never crossed paths with him. And then there was this huge smear campaign against McKenna Denson because that's what you do. You can't dismiss the allegations, you dismiss the accuser. That's sort of how that works. So that's valid. And so at this time, you identified as gender nonconforming at that time.
Gender non-conforming. So in 26, I went back and forth. 2016, I was like, I'm agender. 2018, I was like, I'm bigender. 2019, I was like, I'm agender. Now it's just called non-binary, right?
The umbrella
Yeah.
has come.
But basically, like, thinking I was non-binary was my yellow brick road. And then October 11th, 2022, which just by coincidence was National Coming Out Day. I had no
Oh,
idea,
yeah,
but that's the day I
perfect.
accepted myself and like clicked right away and knew. I was like, oh, that's, that's where I'm supposed to be at. That's my Emerald City, because that's the city at the end of the day. That sounds as artistic as hell, I know, but
I love it. I need a
it's
huge
true.
metaphor. We love the artistic razzle dazzle.
Yeah, I
Love
think.
it. Oh.
But I think I got clear of the clutter, like how, because you to finally answer your question of how things got better, I got free of the clutter and felt that way. I would say in like 2020, like July, August 2020. And so, yeah, then I felt like I was good. And so then I moved to Manti for work there and at the paper there. And so, I think that was key to like feeling not anymore clutter. I visited a lot of religions. I went to Buddhism. I went to Community of Christ, which is the reorganized, now the it used to be called the Reorganized Church. I still think that's their legal name. I went to Reformed Judaism. and just was, just went on. Just I didn't give up on faith, actually. Even though Humpty Dumpty fell, I didn't give up on faith, and I still have faith, but not with the religion, and then so I was just going along, and Manti, I like I then just started a business, left the paper, started a business. Things are going great. And then Michael Resendez, bless his heart, he was on the Boston Globe team, first of all, that investigated the Catholic Church and found out all these pedo priests. Basically, he's apparently a master at finding out religions that cover up sex abuse.
It's his calling.
Because he did the same thing for the AP with the LDS Church, and that was August 2022. And what was interesting about that for me is that even though I was totally clear of the clutter, I was like, whoa, I was like, no, the children shouldn't be in this religion. It went from like, this is false and terrible, and yes, like pretty much terrible for anybody who was in a white, straight, non-queer looking guy, a person of utmost privilege. But that was like, no, children should not. I wrote a content piece about it. Like, children do not should not be in this religion. And I was like, you know what? If the Mormon Church is still influencing me in any way, in the back, subconsciously or whatever, I gotta run. I gotta run from this. And that was that final leg from Yellow Brick Road to Emerald City. Because 2 months after that, 2 months after that, self-acceptance. So I owe Michael Resendez so much because it wasn't gender, but it set me like I had been walking from the church for 7 years. And then I went into a sprint. And it didn't take long to be in a sprint. But then it was like, yeah. So, because I do believe that this cult, I do think it suppresses self. I don't say that, I'm not saying it's going to look like gender for everybody, but I do think it suppresses self.
Hell yeah, it does. I might cheer up. I'm just in a sensitive mood. Or no, I think it's your story. But I think you're absolutely right. My mind is blown, especially doing interviews and just talking with ex-Mormons. Like the number of people that leave the church and have suicidal thoughts, it's almost like a guarantee. How could this be healthy? How could this be good? How could this be okay? And that was my aha moment when I finally needed to. That was walking away too. I'm gonna have a few reoccurring dreams. I'll probably share in another episode. We'll get to that. We'll get to that, Isabel. But what finally made me like turn it off and be like, none of it's true, was I was crying because I didn't want to be a part of the church anymore. But I wanted to be sealed to my husband, who I'm married to. And this idea of like, we're going to be separated for time and all eternity. But I was like, but I don't want to do this. And we had a really weirdo bishop. Like I said, they're all weirdos. I had a really weirdo bishop roulette. Like, what kind of weirdo are you going to have? I had a really weird bishop that wanted us to pay tithing with no end in sight and be like, oh, we'll talk in 6 months if you're ready to be sealed. And we were like newlyweds. So I was like crying and I was like, I don't want to give up coffee and the church is oppressive. Oh, do you have to go? Sorry. Oh no. What's the... Do you have like 5 minutes? Or no, they're like, you have to rumble.
Resume, sorry.
You're fine. You're okay. We got sirens. We got it all. So that was like my aha moment was a quote from Dr. Stephen Hassan, who wrote Combating Cult Mind Control and Freedom of Mind. Was if something hurts you to leave it, like harms you, then it's this is a cult. Like that's not how anything should be. And I was texting my brother, I was texting my sister, I was texting a friend. All three of those people have now left. And then I had this aha moment that was like, it's all a lie. Like it's just not true. And it was like, oh, like, oh, like, yeah, just
It's just
the.
true.
Yeah, literally, like, it's a lie. Like, it's a heap of lies. Ugh. Like, that's because I walked away. I struggled making it work, as I think every ex-Mormon that was a true blue at one point, because I was, always had things I didn't really like, but you suppress it, you excuse it, you do all the things. And then finally, it's like, no, it's all a lie. Like, surprise! Like, surprise, we've been lied to. Oh, dang. But
Yep,
yeah.
130%.
Fair,
Yep.
fair. And it is not a safe place for children. And you're like, you're exactly right. And like, just, it does suppress people. And whether it's gender or racism or any or anything, like, there's such a tiny box for people to fit into, and the majority of members don't fit it, but they'll contort themselves and deplete their own resources for a machine or a parasite, is the other metaphor coming in hot, poetic terms. So, which is fair. And that is really cool that you never gave up on faith. I've come to my own because I've interviewed all kinds of people that are atheist, are Christian, are all kinds of things. I just lean into my like native spirituality. I'm like afraid of organized religion. Like, oh no, they're gonna get me. I don't know. That's sort of my energy. Or how do you feel about that? What's your vibe?
Yeah, I'm not into religion at all anymore. I can't say that that's a very, I think that right-leaning religion, so your LDS, your Catholic, your Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, although I guess Muslim, they just believe in like theocracy, right? Like take it over.
Yeah.
And Jehovah's Witness still, but my point, those religions I think are the biggest problems in our society. At least in America. I know America, right? So I'll stick with what I know. I think those are the biggest problems in American society. And I even think that these institutions are dead wood, that this will sound super woke, but if you can, we're starting to finally lift up that dead wood and beautiful things are coming forth. And obviously there's a segment, you know, there's a candidate and a former president who's thriving off of the people freaking out about this, but I just think it's the time we're at in human history, at least in American history. And so no, I don't, I think Community of Christ, even I don't even think in the Latter-day Saint movement there's a progressive religion. I think Community of Christ is very centrist when you look at policies they've done recently with polyamory and with and how they've handled the Kirtland sale. That's not really political. Well, it is actually from a PR
All
perspective,
is,
which is half PR. But I don't think there's a left-leaning religion in the Latter-day Saint movement. And even the left-leaning religions, I have zero interest in going now. The ones that I was looking into, because I only looked into the left-leaning religions when I was on that journey, I don't have any interest in going. At the same time, I have a vibrant belief in the divine. I don't actually call her God, but so yeah. So vibrant belief in the divine, but I have no interest in any religion. And I truly do believe that right-leaning religions are the biggest problem in our society.
amen. And you're, yeah, a amen. Like, I feel the same way. Sorry, listeners, if you're listening and that's not really your vibe, that's okay. We love a difference of opinion. That's your jam and that's your journey. But
For
me and the
sure.
Heartlet Isabel are in the same little boat. Rowing along. We're in the same little boat. I just think there's such an extremism that's manifested that I'm on the same little boat. We're in there together, rowing along. Little rows, but I agree with you. And I've done a ton of deconstructing, but that's been for me and my journey. And just kind of unpacking how Christianity wasn't ever really like a choice for my family. Native boarding schools, look it up, y'all, look it up, y'all.
Yeah, right.
But my cute little grandpa survived one of those. You know what I mean? It's like, that's our
Yeah.
origin with those religions, is always, sadly, from me personally, they've always been culty. Like, just sprinkle a little culty, like lack of choice, no informed consent. Like, that's sadly only been my experience. But no, I think we're on the same page. And yeah, you've always been for the girls.
Right, and informed consent just makes you want to say, I don't even see how right-leaning religion and healthcare are even compatible now, because healthcare, for instance, believes in informed consent. Right-leaning religions don't do it. Healthcare does gender-affirming care. They believe that trans women are women, for instance. Right-leaning religions don't. So they're not, those sorts of institutions, those religions are not even compatible with, like, forget the scary S word of science. What about health?
Yeah,
What about the
really.
practice of doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners and APRNs?
Preach it. I have a ton of feelings about that. We don't even have time because we've run out of time, sadly. But well, anyways, there'll be other times. But I agree with you. And healthcare, there's so many. They're called anomalies, but they're really not. Like, tons of people use gender affirming care. Birth control pills are gender affirming care. Like, tons of people. God, it's so not linear or simple. And we might run out of time, so who do you want to close in the name of? Who should we pick?
This is where I should say my beliefs, right?
Oh no, we have less than a minute. You have to say like who you close in the name of. You can do that one
Oh.
next time, sorry. Panic. Yeah, less than a minute. Who should
Okay,
we
I close
close
in
in
the
the name
name,
of?
like what I believe, right? I close in the name of Mama. I believe in Mama. I believe in the female divine. I
There you
do.
go. Yes, absolutely. We close in her name. There you go. Perfect.
Perfect.